Dear friends, don't give up on one. That's our focus for today. We are in Matthew chapter 18. We're going to look at verses 1 through 20. Think about it like this. Every soul is precious to our Heavenly Father because Christ came to save sinners. What can we say about the church? Well, the church, talking here about true believers, the church takes sin seriously, and the church lovingly seeks the wandering, so the sinner may be restored. That is the reason why we are seeking them. We don't want them to be lost forever. We want them to be with us here. We want them to be in the kingdom of God. We want them to be with us in eternity. This is the outline that we're going to follow for today. Before I share the outline with you, understand that when we look at this section, it might seem to be a little bit disconnected, but what I want you to see is that it all ties together. Here's the outline. Part one, don't look down on one. Don't look down even on the little helpless child. The second part, don't cause one to fall. Very important, very serious. Part three, don't give up on one who wanders. And then part four, go after the one who sins. I hope you can see a little bit from that outline how this whole section is connecting together. Let me try to help you understand that a little bit better now as we get into the sermon itself. So the first part here, don't look down on one. We're going to Matthew chapter 18, picking up in verse 1, the Bible says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? How did Jesus react to that? The Bible says, he called a young child to himself and set that young child among them. Jesus set him there as an example, and then he said to them, truly I say to you, unless you change and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. What does he mean, become like children? We should be like children in that spiritually we should understand we have little status. We have little authority. We have little social importance. And then Jesus said about such a child or such a believer, he said, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And then Jesus added, and whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. What is he really saying there? When we receive someone who is a believer, when we receive that person, that is the same as receiving Christ himself. Can you see now how it would be a very dangerous thing to reject such a person? So to reject such a person, even a little child who is a believer, to reject such a person is to reject Christ. What can we conclude here from the first section? Don't look down on one, not even one. In the second section, this is a tough one here, don't cause one to fall. Jesus said, but whoever causes one of these little ones, now we could say here, little ones of any age, who have these characteristics of a little one, but we're talking about people of any age. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it is better for him that a heavy millstone be hung around his neck and that he be drowned in the depths of the sea. So a very serious matter to cause someone to stumble. And then Jesus said, woe to the world because of its stumbling blocks, for it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to the person through whom the stumbling block comes. And then Jesus went on. If your hand or your foot is causing you to sin, cut it off and throw it away from you. Why would he say such a thing? He tells us it is better for you to enter life maimed or without a foot than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into the eternal fire. And then he goes further yet. Jesus said, and if your eye is causing you to sin, tear it out and throw it away from you. Why should we do that? He tells us it is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fiery hell. See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, on one of these believers. For I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven. What can we say about these angels? They are ones who are watching over believers. They are serving believers. They are protecting believers. Think about this question. How might someone cause a believer to sin? Well, there are plenty of examples, but let me give you a couple. First of all, by normalizing sinful behavior. Think about the topic of homosexuality. How many people are living that lifestyle? How many people are saying it is okay? When other people are convinced that it is okay, sometimes such people can be drawn into that lifestyle, again, by normalizing sinful behavior. How else can we cause someone to stumble? By teaching false doctrine in order to lead someone away from Christ. Now, some doctrine is taught falsely, and maybe the teacher doesn't even know that what he is teaching is false. Maybe he himself is deceived. But what about those who are hearers, just like each of you? What is important for each of you? It is important that no matter who the preacher is, you should always be taking what he says, compare it with your own Bible, and if it does agree, then embrace it as true. If it doesn't agree, completely reject it. Think about this. Don't cause a believer to fall. Very serious matter. Let's not do it. And don't treat lightly the sin that can destroy your own faith. Have we ever taken that attitude? Oh, I know it's not quite right, but I think it'll be okay. I think I can get away with it. God doesn't want us to have that kind of an attitude. He wants us to treat all sin in a very serious manner. Let's go on to part three. Don't give up on one who wanders. Picking up in verse 12, Jesus said, "What do you think? If any man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, will he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go and search for the one that is lost? And if it turns out that he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that have not gone astray. So it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven for one of these little ones to perish." Think about how you and I can easily be. After a while, we tend to give up on a person. But wonderful, though, that God is not like us. God does not give up. God cares about the person, think about this, God cares about the person who hasn't been in church. God cares about the person who is drifting away from Christ. God cares about the person who is caught red-handed in his sin. And God cares about the person who has been forgotten by everyone else. What can we conclude here? Let us not give up on one who wanders. In the fourth part, go after the one who sins. So here, we are doing what Jesus just said. We are seeking the lost sheep. Now we come to verse 15, and this is a one-to-one situation. Jesus said, now if your brother sins, now when it says brother, we're talking about someone who is claiming to be a Christian, a follower of the Christ. Now if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. How should we do that? By using the Bible. We can say to our brother, the Bible says this, you are living in this way. So there's a difference between your life and the Word of God. That would be a good way to do it. Go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you and repents, you have gained your brother, Jesus said. That's good news. What if that doesn't work? Well, then he said, but if he does not listen to you, take one or two more believers with you, so that on the testimony of two or three witnesses, every matter may be confirmed. What's the idea here? If he's not going to listen to you, now you get one or two others, you let them in on the situation, and now you are strengthening the call for the person to repent. What if that doesn't work? Well, we have step three then. Jesus said, if he refuses to listen to them, that would be the two or three, tell it to the church. In other words, tell it to the whole congregation of believers. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, in other words, if he refuses to repent, Jesus said, he is to be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. What does that mean? Gentile and tax collector. Jesus is saying you are to treat him as an unbeliever. You are to treat him as someone who is outside the kingdom of God. You are to treat him as someone who is not currently in possession of God's gift of eternal life. We're saying a lot about that person. We might ask the question, why such harsh words? Let's understand, we are dealing with things of eternal consequence. We are dealing with sin. We are dealing with a person's saving relationship with Christ. We are dealing with a person's eternal location. Think about this statement. Let's love each other so much that we are willing to tell them when everything isn't fine. Is that an easy thing to do? No. Is that an important thing to do? Yes. Think about it again. Let's love each other so much that we are willing to tell them when everything isn't fine. Let's understand here that the goal of what we're trying to do, the goal from beginning to end, is repentance, forgiveness, and restoration. So very important. And then we are called to act with the authority of Christ. Some people might say, well, who are you to come with these accusations? Who are you to call me to repent? Well, we are to act with the authority of Christ. So in verse 18, Jesus said, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth, what does that mean? Whatever you declare unforgiven on earth, do to unrepentance, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth. In other words, whatever you declare forgiven on earth due to repentance shall have been loosed in heaven. So Christ is giving great authority to take these important actions, 1 to 1, 2 or 3 to 1, the whole congregation to 1. And then Jesus said in verse 19, "Again I say to you that if 2 of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven." What are some of the things that might be asked here? What about asking for wisdom in dealing with the sinner? What about asking the Father to bring the sinner to repentance? What about asking the Father to restore the sinner in relationship to his Son, Jesus Christ? What should we do with all wandering sheep? Let us be thinking about them. Let us be praying for them. And then coming to verse 20, Jesus said, "For where 2 or 3 have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst." The question here is, how does that verse fit in with verses 1 through 19? Jesus assured his disciples, think about it like this. He assured his disciples that when even a small number of believers must carry out this difficult responsibility, Jesus himself is present with them. I hope you can see how verses 1 through 20 here in Matthew chapter 18, I hope you can see how they all fit together, how all of them are focusing on this topic of not giving up even on one. Let me go through a conclusion here that will give us a reminder of what we just looked at. First of all, in verses 1 through 5, what is Jesus saying to us? Value the little one. Now, little ones don't necessarily have to be young children. A little one can be a humble believer in Christ. Value the little one. In other words, humble yourself and receive Christ's little ones. Receive every believer. In verses 6 through 9, Jesus is telling us, don't cause one to stumble. In other words, take sin seriously because it can destroy faith. Verse 10, don't despise one. Every believer is precious before God. Let's not forget that. Verses 12 through 14, don't give up on one. In other words, when even one wanders, go looking for him. Don't say, oh, I'll stay here and focus on the 99. No, when one wanders, go looking for him. May God help us to be more that way as a congregation. Verses 15 through 17, go after your brother. So when sin causes a brother to wander, what should we do? Pray for him, yes. What else should we do? We should seek to regain him. So important. Jesus has given us careful steps to follow. Verse 18, Christ gives his church authority. So bind the sin of the unrepentant, and we need to let the person know when we do that. We need to let him know the terrible situation he is in. And then we also have the authority to loose the sin of those who do repent. Even for every unrepentant person, what are we yet hoping for? We are hoping that finally they repent. Verse 19, pray for the person. Seek your heavenly Father's help. We're not in this alone, but rather Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are working within us and through us to make an eternal positive difference in the lives of others. Let us not forget. And finally, in verse 20, Christ is with you. So we don't carry out this important ministry alone. He is with us. He will help us. May God help us to be obedient to what he has said. And may God grant success as we do these things in serious ways with others. May God move them to hear us. May God enable them to understand. And may God move them to give a favorable, wonderful response. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, help us to rightly understand your words and help us to do what you said to reach lost ones, to reach even every single lost one. In your holy, precious name we pray. Amen.